The greatest power you will ever experience is the power of God's love towards you.
Death has been defined, and the grave has been denied.
The gospel of Jesus Christ does not revolve around your love and commitment towards God, but it revolves around God's love and commitment towards you.
Love, what a relief, forgiven and free.
God is not a sin-conscious God, but a worth-conscious God. And you are worth so much to Him. The following program revolves around God's love for you, when you can discover your worth and enjoy the life God has dreamt for you. Greetings in the wonderful name of Jesus. I am Bertie Brits, and it's an honor for me to minister the gospel of God's grace to you. The most powerful force in existence known by man is the love and grace of God. The grace of God is the power of God that brings a brand new life to every person, free from his own willpower to try and obey spiritual principles. But simply by believing in Jesus Christ, we can share in the quality of God's life. Today we are talking about faith. And this will be the third session where we talk about faith. And I don't know how many more will come. I think we can talk about faith for a very long time. I would like to just give a short recap on what happened or what we shared in the previous two sessions. Faith is the result or the place a person finds himself in when he is convinced by the integrity of another person to rest in that person so that that person can bring forth whatever he has promised. Let me say that again. Faith is the condition a human being finds himself in after he has been persuaded by the integrity of another person, that person can bring forth whatever he has promised. Now, that is very simple. If we look in the Greek, it just points out to four or five simple points, and that is, a person that has got faith is one where God has actually won your friendship. So faith is not your undivided attention wherein you are trying to persuade yourself that God will do something for you. Neither is faith a hard concentration. You know, well, I'm gonna try and just believe that something will happen. No, faith is a place where you actually come to rest. Faith is a place where you are experiencing absolute peace, absolute joy, absolute rest, because you know that you fully qualify and that God has brought enough evidence to you that he, by his own doing, can bring forth whatsoever he has promised. The way we've looked at the gospel was from a foundation that if we can just have enough good works and enough holiness, then we can have all the things we desire in this world, like a house and a car and health. Most of the time, most people desire a nice house, enough money, health, and a long life, and a family life that is healthy. That is what most people desire. And what has happened is that it has been said that Jesus will provide all those things for us, and that is what he's come to do, and that Jesus Christ died so that we can have those things. And then if we just believe hard enough, then he will give us those things that we desire. We will have a nice house, we'll have a nice car, we will have enough money, and we will have health. And then as a bonus on top of that, we will not then burn in hell, but we will go to heaven. And that was what was basically believed on what the gospel is. Now I want to say to you, the gospel is much more than that. The gospel is something that the Apostle Paul, without having a house, without having a wife, without having money, being lied about, being beaten up, sitting in jail, caused himself to be extremely excited and happy, writing a letter that they smuggled out of the jail that's still changing people's lives today. That is what the gospel can bring you. You would say, Bertie, but that sounds like bad news. It sounds like, you know, I'm not going to have the house, I'm not going to have the car, and I'm not going to have the beautiful, attractive husband or wife and obedient children and all those kind of things. What is the gospel then about? What the gospel of Jesus Christ is a place where we can rely upon God, where He has proven by what He's done in Jesus to actually set you free from a life where you are not partaking in His quality of life, where God has come in Jesus to conquer your sin for you, where God has come in Jesus to end your death, to bring eternal life to you, wherein He will bring His righteousness into this earth, where He will come and manifest His kingdom by His doing in the earth. Now, I remember there was a time when I thought that God wants to manifest His kingdom in this earth, so I need to get busy with manifesting His kingdom and portraying His kingdom in the earth. And that got me very busy with quoting scriptures, trying to believe, trying to get other people to do the very same thing, frustrating myself and not walking in the peace of God. When we look at Jesus Christ, we find that God single-handedly, without our contribution, conquered the power of sin and death. I want to ask you this question. How much did you contribute to Jesus conquering the sin of the world when He became sin and died away the sin of the world, and when He was raised up immortal, conquering in that resurrection, conquering all sin and even physical death? How much of our faith was needed to get that right? None. It was something that He single-handedly got right. And He brought forth a truth about every human being in His death and resurrection that is glorious and powerful. Now, when we look at Adam and what Adam has done, Adam came and Adam sinned. And when Adam disobeyed God, and through that disobedience, sin entered into the world, and through that sin, death passed unto all people. And when we look at Adam, we know that whatever Adam has done has or includes us. His disobedience included us. What did you have to personally do in order for Adam to bring forth sin and death in your life? Nothing. What did we have to do personally to get death to spread over the whole earth? Nothing. It was through the disobedience of one man that sin entered and passed unto everybody, because everybody has got the wages of sin, which is death. Now, we easily believe and we can easily know that through that which Adam has done, it has passed unto all men. Now, the thing is this, if Adam could by his disobedience bring that forth, how much more through the obedience of Jesus could he conquer what Adam has done? How many more times through his resurrection has he brought eternal life and holiness and righteousness to man as a free gift? You see, what we do in our walk of faith is we see that Jesus has died for our sin, and we see that Jesus was resurrected, and then we see it as something potential. We see it as when I believe, the day I believe, that is when Jesus actually dies for me, and when I believe, that's when I'm actually resurrected with Christ. No, that is not how it works. Christ, let me put it this way, as what Adam brought a truth about humanity through his disobedience, in the very same way, Jesus Christ brought a truth about humanity in his death and resurrection. And that truth believed, when we are persuaded of that truth, then we find that our hearts start to experience the freedom by the power of that truth in our lives in the here and now. So many times people think, and maybe you are listening to me right now, and you're thinking that I'm saying everybody is saved. I'm not saying everybody is saved. I'm not saying everybody will inherit eternal life. No, we are preaching so that people can believe unto this truth, and that this truth can then manifest by the Holy Spirit the brand new life in you, where you are not born from legalism or born from obligation or the belief system where you feel obligated to obey scriptures and obey certain things and live a holy life in order for God to accept you and save you one day from hell. But what we want to do, and what the writers of the Gospels and what the Apostle Paul was teaching, was you wanted people to come to the realization that sin has been conquered, that death has been conquered. And it has not just been conquered in one man, but it has been conquered in one man on behalf of everybody, since he is Jesus is the high priest of God that represents God and man in front of each other. So we see heaven manifested in earth in the body of Jesus. And we see that body of Jesus was sinless. And when he became sin, he included all of us inside that sin, inside that body, so that when Jesus died, when he became sin, that we cannot but conclude that the Jesus that was hanging upon the cross, the curse that he became, the sin that he became, is my life. So that after his resurrection, we can only conclude that the resurrection life of Christ is my life. Where there's no difference between Jew and Gentile, where there's no difference between law-abiding and not law-abiding, where everybody became sinners, and where the resurrection life now is by the doing of God belonging to every person. Now, when we look at Jesus and how he's conquered our sin and conquered our death, and we see the power of God in how we can actually bring something like that forth that includes all of us, the effect that comes to your heart when you understand that is an emotion of, my God is bigger than my mistake, and my God is stronger than my sin, and that my God is stronger than my death. And then when God comes and he pours out the Holy Spirit on the earth, that same Spirit that raised Christ from the dead is then giving us the promise that as he raised Christ from the dead, without sin, without death, that that Spirit will also raise us up into a life where we walk free from sin and where we walk free from death, where we can actually love the way God loves, where we don't have to live in what I call the shallowness of just blatant willpower application to scriptures, but where we can have compassion and love the way God has got compassion and love. You know, it is the gospel of Jesus is the good news of how God has come and conquered that which you cannot conquer by your own willpower. It is the good news of how God has come and made you a co-owner of his love, a co-owner of his kindness, where you are drawn into the inner circle, where you can experience how good and how kind he is. You know, the highest quality of life is not found in the abundance of your possessions. Now, I want to say this again. I know I'm saying this the platform I'm preaching on is all over the world. And even on this specific station that I'm preaching now, and this message will go to different stations. I want to say this. The traditional teaching of the prosperity gospel, wherein we define our blessedness by how much money we have and how we conquer poverty by what we possess. I mean, that traditional teaching brought some form of joy, although it brought a lot of heartache as well. But that can never be compared to a life that's flooded with contentment. Because a life that's flooded with contentment is a life that says, I have got my mind at rest in the integrity of God. My mind is resting in Him, that He is the one that brings forth peace and joy and kindness and all those things in my life that supersedes what the world brings. You know, this world, if you give somebody R1 million, he will be very glad. And that would be the joy that money can bring. But that which God can bring supersedes that. And I want to say to everybody, and I just feel this is by the Holy Spirit, maybe you've applied your faith for so many years in wanting to have a breakthrough. And if you were just honest with yourself, you've never had that breakthrough. You have been faithful in everything you think you need to do. You've been going to church. You've been confessing scriptures. You've been worshiping. You've been meditating, trying to renew your mind for as long as what you know, but you're always struggling and you're always going through difficult times and you don't know why. You see your one friend get a breakthrough and the other one get a breakthrough, or you will listen to radio or read a magazine or watch on television and always hear of a man who testifies of the supernatural miracles by the principles, and then you believe in these principles. You believe in the principle and you see nothing. Well, that is the problem. The problem is you believing in faith instead of believing in Jesus. I've seen that in my own life. When I started to stop to trust principles and when I stopped to believe in what I do and how I obey, and I simply believe that He is my Father and that I can have my life defined not in the abundance of my possessions, not where my kid goes to school, not in how much money I have or who my friends are or what car I drive or what shoes I wear or what shirt I preach with, or if we get to ministry and for pastors that watch this, the quality of my television broadcast, the quality of the video cameras, the beauty of the studio, the amount of people that follow me or likes I have on Facebook or the size of my crowds, the moment I came and I realized that my life is defined in the resurrected Jesus, and it became a reality to my life. In that day, contentment was born in my heart because I knew that joy is found in loving someone, you know, in just how He loves through me. Joy is found in knowing that I am innocent and guiltless and holy before Him and that I have always been. Joy is found in seeing a resurrected Jesus and who He is at the right hand of the Father as the promise of what God would bring forth in my life. Isn't that absolutely awesome? That is absolute good news. Now, when we look at faith, I'm going to look at a passage in Matthew 15, verse 25, and we're going to look at two examples. The one is going to be from Matthew 15. I'm going to talk a little bit about that and then go to Luke 7. I'm going to look at two examples of great faith in the Bible. I'm going to explain to you the great faith that these people had. Both examples talk about people that were not Jews. They were Gentiles, and great faith was found in them. Now, let us just read from Matthew 15, verse 25. Matthew 15, verse 25, it says, "Then came she and worshipped Him, saying, Lord, help me. But He answered and said, It is not meet, or it's not right, to take the children's bread and cast it to the dogs. And she said, Truth, Lord, yet the dogs eat the crumbs that falls from the master's table. And Jesus answered and said to her, O woman, great is your faith, be it unto you as you will. And her daughter was made whole from that very hour." Okay, when we look at that passage, we find the Syrophoenician woman or a Greek woman come to Jesus and say to Jesus, Jesus, my daughter is sick and would you come and heal her? And He said, listen, I've only come for the lost sheep of the house of Israel. And what he was saying to her is, according to the law, you don't qualify. You don't qualify. You are not of the right tribe. You don't even have the law. You're not keeping any of the rules. You are not circumcised. You're not obedient as the Jews are. And I have come to actually bring salvation to the Jews. Now, that's a long explanation on what that actually means, which we're not going to get into. But that is what he said to her. Now, imagine you come and Jesus said to you, you don't qualify. By the law, you don't qualify for a healing. It's like prosperity, financial prosperity. You need something and you feel, I don't qualify because I didn't give the way I was supposed to give. I didn't do any of these things. So how will I ever qualify? And disqualification can set in your heart because you know that you haven't done all the right things. Now, this woman's faith was greater than that. You know what she said? She said, even the dogs, even those who don't qualify, can still receive. And what she was actually believing was that the integrity and the love of Jesus was greater than her ability to keep the law. And that Jesus' love for humanity qualifies people for healing and is the way unto healing and not the works of the law. So what she was saying is that who Jesus is greater than my qualification or disqualification. And Jesus said, great is your faith. Faith means to be in a state where you are, where Jesus has won your friendship. So what he is saying is, great is your revelation on how I am your friend. Because you see my friendship, and I'm putting this in my own words, you seeing my friendship with you and with humanity is greater than their ability to keep the law. What he was saying was that his ability to love was greater than the disqualification that comes through the disobedience of man. So I want to say to you, as you're watching this program, that you are qualified. You are qualified not by your obedience, but you are qualified by His love for you. What qualifies you for a life of peace? What qualifies you for love, joy, peace, long-suffering, kindness, meekness, temperance, faithfulness, and those kind of things? What qualifies you for that? The love of God. God loving you. You know, so many times we've made the promises of the gospel stuff instead of love. God, and what we've done is we've taken what was actually the promises, which was the fruit of the Spirit, and we think that by providing the fruit of the Spirit, we will have access to the true promises, which was all found in stuff and breakthrough and like I said earlier in the service, a nice house, beautiful wife, a nice car, good friends, and always being protected in times of danger and a healthy life. That is what we thought. We thought that the promises is all these healthy life and those kind of things, and if we can provide the fruit of the Spirit, then we can have access to that. No, it's completely wrong that way. The promise is the fruit of the Spirit and eternal life. That's what God has promised. God has promised us immortality, eternal life. And eternal life is the quality of God's life expressed in Jesus, which was a sacrificial life, which was a life of love and kindness, not a life of extravagance, but a life of kindness and goodness. And that's what I want. That's what God has promised us. He's come to promise us His life. And inside that life, we find an explosion of peace and joy because that's what He promised. And we can see how the friendship of God is greater than our disqualification by the law. I'm not going to read the next passage, but the next passage that I wanted to read was actually from Luke 7, verse 19, where it talks about the centurion, the Greek that was a ruler over 100 people. And he said, come and heal my servant, and Jesus says, I will come. And he says, I'm not worthy that you come under my roof. In other words, I'm a Gentile. You're not allowed to come under my roof, but just speak the word and it shall be done. And so many times we think that it was all about a distance healing. You know, he had great faith. It was a 2-mile healing or it was a 5-mile healing. No, it does not. It's got nothing to do with that. What he's actually saying, if you want to call it distance healing, is that the love of God crossed over the distance of his disqualification since he was a Gentile. And Jesus said, such great faith have I not even found in Israel. Do you know why he couldn't find such a great faith amongst the Jews? It was because they believed that God blesses them because they're Jews and doesn't bless them because he's good. And they felt that they're keeping their set of rules. That is how they've got access into preserving their lives. In the meantime, the set of rules was all pointing to Jesus and what he had to come and establish in the earth. Amen. Amen. I want to just use the last minute and a half just to pray for you and just tell you just about our website. Father, I want to thank you so much that I can just pray for people right now and that they might feel disqualified. But thank you that you have come to bring great faith to them, which is the persuasion that your friendship with them supersedes their disqualification where they could not keep the principles and rules and laws in order for you to bless them. Thank you, Lord. Amen and amen. I would like to hear from you. If this service has touched you or if you've got any questions, please just go to, just send us a message via WhatsApp. We would like to hear from you, or go to our website, dynamicministries.com, and there you can get a hold of all of our material for free. You can also get a hold of my book, Jesus is the Tithe, where I explain how tithing is fulfilled in Christ, as well as my book, Born from Innocence. These two books are available for free in e-format. In paperback, there is a price for it, but in e-format, it is all for free. I want to thank you so much for watching this message and just allowing us to hear from you. We would like to hear from you and we would like to see the, minister to you and pray for you as well. Thank you so much and God bless you.